Well, good morning. Pleased to bring to you the Word of God today, Romans chapter 8. We'll be starting in verse 5 today. As we started Romans chapter 8 last time, Paul gave us assurance that if we are in Christ, we are not now, nor will we ever be condemned by God. We can stand in the judgment as those who are the righteous, those who are right with God because of what Jesus Christ has done. And in verse 2, he said, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." There's a new law. There's a new principle at work in the life of those who are in Christ. For those who have been saved, who have been redeemed, who have been born again by the Spirit of God, there is a new law. There's a new principle at work. He says, instead of sin and death reigning and ruling in our lives, he said, there is now life in the Spirit. The Spirit who gives life to us. How can this be? Well, he says it's because Jesus paid the penalty of condemnation for us. He said, and he did that, he said, so that, in verse 4, did you see it there? He says, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, he said, by the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. And so Paul concludes in verse 4 by describing those who have been justified by faith, those who have been made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. He says that we do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so the stage is set here for seeing two lives, two ways, two walks. Those who walk according to the flesh and those who walk according to the Spirit. In verse 4, that word walk refers to our daily conduct, our way of life. It's not just how we put one foot in front of the other, but it is how we live our lives minute by minute, day by day. It's our daily conduct of our lives. How we live as believers in Jesus Christ. So he says, we do not walk according to the flesh. That's not the way of our life. Instead, he says, we walk according to the Spirit. That is the way our life is lived on a day-by-day basis. And so there are only two ways of life presented here. We either live according to the flesh, or we live according to the Spirit. Now, beginning in verse 5, Paul explains why some walk according to the flesh while others walk according to the Spirit. You'll see it there because he uses the word for. It starts there in verse 5. He's giving the reason. He says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so he's wanting to explain to us why this is true and how to make it real in our lives. And so the spiritual nature of either being according to the flesh or according to the Spirit determines the spiritual behavior of those who live in the flesh or in the Spirit. In other words, it is your nature, whether you are in the flesh or in the spirit, that determines your lifestyle, how you live according to the flesh or according to the spirit. In verses 5 through 8, Paul mainly describes those who are walking in the flesh or living according to the flesh. In verses 9 through 11, he focuses on those who are in the Spirit and living according to the Spirit. So I want you to listen for this contrast of those who are in the flesh or in the Spirit, those who walk according to the flesh, and those who walk according to the Spirit. Listen for that contrast as I read God's holy word today from Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. Now, I'm sure that we're not going to be able to get through all of these verses that I'm going to read today, but I want you to hear them as a unit so that we can get the flow of Paul's argument here in Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, but, he says, for you, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. May the Spirit of God bless the reading and the preaching and the hearing and the obeying of His holy word today. Here we have, as Paul gives us, two ways of life. Two ways to walk. He says, to walk according to the flesh or to walk according to the Spirit. Two ways of life. And so Paul paints this picture of two distinct groups. You'll see it in verse 9. Look at verse 9 again. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. There are those who are in the flesh, and there are those who are in the Spirit. Two distinct groups of people. And Paul uses those terms, I think, in the very same way that he earlier used the terms in Adam and in Christ. If you are in Adam, as he said in chapter 5, you are in the flesh. If you are in Christ, as he said in chapters 5, 6, and 7, you are in the Spirit. Okay? He's describing the difference between those who are lost in Adam, in the flesh, and those who are saved in Christ, in the Spirit. Right? There's a sharp contrast, he says, between those who are in the flesh and those who are in the Spirit. Those who are in Christ and those who are not. And so the application of this is this, that your nature, who you are, determines your behavior, what you do. If you are in the Spirit, in Christ, then you will walk according to the Spirit. That's the way you will live. If you are in the flesh, in Adam, then you will walk according to the flesh. That is how you will live. Now, I believe, I don't think that Paul here is writing about, as in chapter 8 here, I don't think he's writing about two different types of Christians. Spiritual Christians and carnal Christians. I think rather he's talking here about how non-believers differ from true believers in Jesus Christ. I think it's a mistake to think that there are two optional ways to go for believers in Jesus Christ. In other words, there are two different tracks that you can take in the Christian life. I think that's a mistake to believe that. Those who promote this mistaken idea teach that the spiritual Christian is on the discipleship track. And he's the one who gives up everything to follow Christ. He denies himself and he takes up his cross daily. And he will likely suffer hardship and sacrifice and possibly even martyrdom. But his rewards in heaven will be great. This discipleship track, they say, is for the super committed Christian. The other track, they will say, is for the carnal Christian, the fleshly Christian. The rest of us who are, you know, just the ordinary believers. They say that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, but not follow Him as your Lord. They say that you can get your ticket punched to heaven, but you don't have to be all in like those spiritual Christians. You can just attend church fairly regularly, drop something in the offering plate every once in a while, occasionally volunteer to help out at the church if it pleases you. But for the most part, you can live like the world and still have heaven too. I don't think that's biblical at all. Jesus made it clear that there is only one track for the Christian life. In Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34, it says this, whoever desires, Jesus says these words, listen, whoever desires to come after me must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? I think it's pretty clear that Jesus is talking about being lost and being saved here. Don't you? He's talking about eternal life or eternal condemnation. True Christians, Jesus says, die to self and they follow Jesus. And Paul describes that in a little bit different terms, but I think he's talking about the same thing. that a true believer is one who is in the Spirit and therefore walks according to the Spirit. The others, those who are lost, are those who are in the flesh, and therefore they walk according to the flesh. Because your true nature, who you are, determines your behavior, what you do. It's pretty clear, I think. So that there are two different ways of living in this world, and they depend on who you are. Whether you are in the Spirit or in the flesh, whether you are in Adam or in Christ. You can live according to the flesh, and if you live according to the flesh, he says, you will die. You can live according to the Spirit, and if you live in the Spirit, he says, you will have life. Those two different ways of life are diametrically opposed to one another. The flesh is on one side, the Spirit is on the other, and those two ways are those two ways of life are constantly moving in opposite directions. You cannot live in the Spirit and live in the flesh at the same time. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, as he says in verse 11, in verse 9 and in verse 11, he says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, he later calls him the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell, comes to live in every true believer in Jesus Christ. When he moves in, the Holy Spirit begins to transform us, to change us, and these changes are what Paul focuses on in this passage. And so the first major change that we see that Paul talks about in this passage is, he says, for those who are in the Spirit, for those who are in Christ, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling, living in them, he says, the first thing that changes is that we have a change in our mindset. We have a changed mindset. Look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now the word mind here, or minds, it comes from a word that means inclination or purpose. It indicates a direction, a motivation. The idea here is that not just of our mind, but our way of thinking. It's our mindset. It's the natural bent or the direction or the orientation of our thinking. So the two different mindsets are the mind that is set on the flesh and the mind that is set on the Spirit. Let's look at those two. First of all, the mindset of the flesh. The mindset of the flesh focuses on the things of the flesh, he says, right? They set their minds on the things of the flesh. The physical, the natural, the selfish concerns. Think about it. If you think back to those days before you came to Jesus Christ, before you were born again, you will discover, as I have, as I've thought back on my life before Christ, if you look within at that motivating force of your life, your mindset, before you came to Christ, the thing that urged you to do what you did, your mindset was what? Me. It was self. It was self-interest, the promotion of self in one form or another. It was almost always, what is it going to do for me? It was certainly not the glory of God. Everything that I am doing, I'm doing for the glory of God. That's not the way I thought before I came to Christ. Was it you? To set your mind on the things of the flesh is much the same as what John says in 1 John chapter 2, where he says this. He says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Loving the world, or setting your mind on the things of the flesh, means to live for the temporary things of this world. To live for the world's values. To live for yourself rather than living for God. It's to disregard everything that is of God and eternity. The mind according to the flesh might even think about religion. But it will be a religion that is based on what is in it for me, what I can do for myself. You know, the Pharisees in the Gospels are great examples of this. They were very, very religious people. But it was a self-righteous religion. It was all about doing things so that others will look at me and see how righteous I am and how good I am and how I could follow all the rules and do all the right things and therefore earn myself a right standing with God. It was all about self. Their mindset was on themselves. Not on God. Not on His glory. That's how we lived before we came to Christ. But listen, believers, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things are become new. And we have the mind of Christ. We have a new mindset. We have a new way of thinking. We have a new direction. We have a new orientation in the way that we think. We have the mindset of the Spirit. Verse 5 says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. What a change. God works in the minds of those who have been redeemed. The things of the Spirit are the truths that the Spirit reveals to us from God's Word. We just read that passage in John chapter 16 where Jesus says, the Spirit will take from what is mine and reveal it to you. He calls Him the Spirit of truth. You see, the Spirit takes the things of Jesus, His words, takes the Word of God and brings it to our minds so that that is what we think about. That is what our mindset is. Our mindset is the things of God from His holy Word. To set your mind on the things of the Spirit doesn't mean that you go around with your head in the clouds all day long and detached from everyday matters, but it means to set your mind on God's Word and to live your life according to the things that He says in His Word. It doesn't mean that you don't get your hands dirty with things like, you know, just everyday things like paying bills and cleaning the house and fixing meals and mowing your lawn or reading the newspaper. But it means in everything that you do, your mind is set on God and His Word. It means to relate all of your life to God and His Word. It means to develop a biblical worldview where you think about and you process everything through the lens of God and what He has said in His Word. You know, the only way you can do that is to read it and to study it and to get deep into it and say, God, teach me Your Word. Fill me with Your Spirit that I can understand Your Word and take it to heart and begin to live it. The mind that is set on the Spirit sets itself on spiritual things, which is the Word of God and what He says to us. Now listen, I know as well as you do that we have been through chapter 7 of the book of Romans. And we have seen that even the best of Christians falter from time to time. And our minds are constantly in this state of struggle. Paul says that the law of sin struggles with the law of God in his mind, he said in chapter 7. But even though we fall into sin from time to time, our minds are filled with heavenly things. We are people who love God, and we love the things that pertain to Him. We love His Word. We love His people. We love gathering together to worship Him. We love to pray, and we love to read His Word, and we love to love God's people. The Spirit of God redirects the thinking of those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul even commands us to set our minds on the things above. Listen to what he says. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So we are commanded, he says, to seek those things that are above, set our minds on the things that are above. We are commanded to seek and to set our minds on spiritual things, on Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. But here in chapter 8 of Romans, Paul says, this is what believers do. He commands us to do it in Colossians, because here in Romans, he says, that's who we are. We're in Christ. We have the mind of the Spirit, and we set ourselves on the mind of the Spirit. Therefore, do it, he says. And that's the way it often comes down to in the Christian life. We do these things, he says, set your mind on these things, because why? That's what your mind is. Because you have the mind of the Spirit, set your mind on the things of the Spirit. So my question then is this. Does that describe you? Do you set your mind on the things of the Spirit or the things of the flesh? Which direction are you headed? You see, the result of those two different mindsets is this. Verse 6. To be carnally minded, to be have your mind set on the flesh, he says, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, to have our mind set on the things of the Spirit is life and peace. Paul is describing this current spiritual state of each group, which explains, you know, why the first group has their mind set on the things of the flesh, and the second group has their mind set on the things of the Spirit. The first group is dominated by the flesh because they are spiritually dead. Those who are unbelievers are dead in their trespasses and sins, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. In verse 5 of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, even when you were dead in transgressions, to be have your mind of the mind of the flesh is death, he says. But those who are in Christ, those who are in the Spirit, he says, have their mind on the things of the Spirit, and that is life and peace. The life is called eternal life because it's indestructible. It cannot be taken away by any natural force. When we get to the end of chapter 8, we're going to see that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can take away our salvation from us. Nothing can take our eternal life, our peace with God. Why? Because it is eternal. It's indestructible. It's the gift of God. We didn't earn it. We got it from what Jesus has done. We simply put our faith in Him and we receive that free gift. But the one who's been born again, one who's been born again has life and has peace. And therefore, he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Even in the midst of life's trials, in the struggle with sin, in everything that we do, we enjoy life and we enjoy peace with God through Jesus Christ. So the result is two different things. Life and peace for those who are in Christ, in the Spirit. And death for those who are not. And then we get to verse 7 and 8. We see the devotion of the two mindsets. First of all, the flesh is the enemy of God. Paul tells us that the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the mindset on the flesh, is really the enemy of God. Why is that true? Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, as I said, desires itself. The carnal mind desires to be God itself. It's bent on overthrowing God's rule so that I can rule. Why is it the enemy of God? Because God is the rightful ruler of the world. He is God, the King. He is the only sovereign. And when I try to be king, I'm putting myself against God as His enemy. The carnal mind is, as Paul says here, is so filled with evil, it cannot please God. You know, even what may appear as good, and I know as well as you do that before I came to Christ and those who are lost, sometimes we did things that were pretty decent things. We didn't sin every second of every day, at least outwardly, right? we were able to do some good things, and there are a lot of people that are lost and without Christ that do what are moral things and upright things. And I mean, we talked about the Pharisees who followed all of the letter of the law and did all kinds of moral things, but inside they were dead spiritually. What is true is this, that what may appear good in the life of an unbeliever, what appeared good in my life before I came to Christ, even those moral things that I did, the times that I followed the Ten Commandments and God's law, they were still tainted by the sin that was in my heart. My motives and my sin tarnished everything that I did, so that all my self-righteousness was really unrighteousness before a holy God, because none of it was pure and without tainted motives. Everything was sin in my life. I was an enemy of God, and nothing pleased God. Even on my best day, I was still God's sworn enemy. The flesh is the enemy of God. The Spirit then would be the opposite of that, wouldn't it? To be in the Spirit means to have that spiritual mind. The mind of the saved person will be drawn away from the things of the world, away from the things of the self and of the flesh, and it will be drawn to the things that please the Lord. What the flesh cannot produce in us, the Holy Spirit does produce in us. What a difference. What a Savior we have. Now that's not to say that the believer has been absolutely perfected. We know that that's not true. However, when Paul refers to sin in the believer, we saw in chapter 7 that he's quick to point out that sin dwells in my flesh, in my mortal body. And it is not me, the new me, the Spirit in me that does these things. It's not the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me that does that sin. It is in my flesh, he says. That's why, listen, that is why it does not work to try to fight sin by means of the flesh. The flesh doesn't want to fight against sin. The flesh loves sin. It's in the flesh's nature to do that. The flesh is an enemy of God. And it wants to fight against God. It wants to sin. The solution to the struggle of indwelling sin that we saw in chapter 7 is not to try to depend on the flesh, because that's what we did before we came to Christ. It didn't work. It only got us in a deeper and deeper hole every time. Instead, he says the solution to all of this is not the mind that is set on the flesh. It's the mind that is set on the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit of God who dwells in us. That's the solution, he says. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in us. Look at verse 9 again. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do you have the Spirit of God living in you? The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you? You should know it if you do. Because God is changing you, transforming you. He's changing the way you think. You have the mind set on the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh. Everything is becoming new inside of you. You should know that you have the... In fact, he's going to go on later in chapter 8 here to say that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. That deep down inside of us, God's Spirit is speaking deep into our hearts and into our spirit, reminding us, confirming in us that we are the children of God, that we are in the Spirit, and the Spirit is in us, and we are living a new life. If that's not happening in you, if your mind is not set on the things of the Spirit, but the things of the flesh, it's time for you to question, have I been saved? If the direction of your life is not, I want to do the things of God. I love Him. I love His people. I love His Word. I hate sin. And I love God and His Spirit's living in me. If that's not the direction of your life, you might still be in the flesh. You've never come to be born again and to have that life of God, His Holy Spirit living in you. Believers are in Christ. They're not in the flesh. Now, the flesh in which I live, this body is still just as evil as it has ever been. It's still, and I'm still locked in this never-ending battle with it, but I am in the Spirit. My mind is changed, my direction is changed, and when I am thinking the things of the Spirit, I will not sin. How could I? Now, I know that we will not be free from this flesh until we are home with the Lord and we receive those new resurrection bodies. Praise God, someday that's going to happen. But until that time, the good news is, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, as John says in 1 John chapter 4. We win! His Spirit lives in us. So as we close today, I want you to think. Make sure that you have a new life through God's Spirit. That if you're still living in the flesh, if you know that's your mindset, the solution to that is simple. Don't deceive yourself into thinking, well, I'm just one of those carnal Christians. I'm going to heaven because I prayed a little prayer because I go to church. The issue is, do you have the Spirit of God in you? And if you do, your life, your direction, your mindset is different. If you're not sure, the Bible says it's very simple. Repent. That means turn away from your old self and your sin. Cry out to God in faith and say, Jesus, save me. You are Lord. Does that sound tough? It's not. You know why? Because it's a gift. He gives it to you. All you have to do is receive it. And listen, Christians, if you have been born again and you find yourself from time to time drifting into the flesh of the world, the solution is the same. Repent and turn to Jesus. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit and fill yourself with His Word, and He will do that work of transformation in your life. So I invite you today, as we come to this invitation time, come receive Christ. He'll give you His Spirit. He'll make you a new person. If you have done that, and you find yourself still drifting away, repent. Turn back to Him and let Christ do that work of cleansing in your heart and life right now. Let's stand together as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this message that You've given us today. Bless Your Word, God, as we have heard it. May it do Your perfect work in our hearts and draw people to Yourself through Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.